1 Thessalonians 2:11-2, we read this. Paul wrote, by the moving of the Holy Spirit, by the breath of the Holy Spirit, that divine anointing to write this, God's word. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, for you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. What we see here are three things, and this message is titled The Father's Threefold Ministry. Three things that Paul is speaking directly to the church about. His heart for the church, his desire for the people of God, is like the father's desire for his own children. A righteous father will desire their children to know the Lord. A righteous father will exhort them, encourage them to know the Lord. They will charge them. They will show them the way. They will call them to it. They will guide them to it. They will model the behavior. And Paul here is speaking to the Thessalonians at a time when they were struggling with persecution, as the church does struggle with persecution to this day. And he calls us to the same thing that we hear today. And I will read it again. For you know how, like a father with his children, verse 11 says, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you to charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. What a weighty message in two small verses that we have here. To walk worthy of the kingdom of God, that calling to the kingdom of God and his glory. To walk worthy. When we are raising children, when fathers are raising children, they'll talk to their children. I remember my dad talking to me, saying, your reputation is one of the biggest things that you'll have in life. Your reputation is going to say it all. It's going to either carry you a long way, or you're going to end up cutting yourself off from blessings. And what I learned was he was very right. We are known by our behavior. We're known by our name, but we're also known by our behavior. You could come up with a great name and then mess that all up. God is calling us to walk worthy of the calling in Jesus Christ that we have. He is exhorting us. Exhort means to call, a calling upward, a calling towards God, a strongly encouraging or urging, a stir to go forward. I remember when I was trying to, and Roger, I should focus on Dad. Roger's working towards helping the kids walk, and he's calling them to come. And they will, when they first started walking, they would stagger around and plop, fall down, and he would encourage them to get up again, going and taking their little hands. I remember him holding their hands. It's a vivid scene in my mind where he's holding their little hands and walking ahead of me. And that's just the most beautiful sight. Well, our Heavenly Father does just that, does he not? As when we're growing in him, and when we give our heart to him, we don't start out all grown up and mature. No, we start out as babes in Christ. And we mature along the way, and we grow stronger and closer to him all the more, all the days that we live on the face of this earth. It's a journey towards the Lord. It's a journey towards glory. It's a journey every step of the way. Are we perfect? No, but we are being made perfect, even as he is perfect. We are being made into the likeness and the image of Christ. We are being made, his hands forming, his hands shaping. And it's a beautiful thing to have a Heavenly Father like our Heavenly Father. Paul, he wasn't pushing from behind in this word he was giving the Thessalonians. He was displaying it. He was saying, this is the way we do. This is how we're doing this. We're doing this as a loving father. And he's calling them to it, calling them and modeling the behavior. Jesus, he didn't lead by driving the sheep. He didn't lead by behind them, driving them, like shepherds sometimes do, behind them, trying to get them to go on. No, he led by being in front, and the sheep follow. And the sheep know his voice, and we know his voice, and we follow. Fathers lead by example. Fathers lead by example. Spiritual fathers lead by example. And each one of you, if you are named by the name of Jesus, if you have given your life to Jesus, you are called to father and disciple someone who is coming to know the Lord. You're called to reach out into the world and to show them the gospel by a godly lifestyle, by a godly way, a godly way of being, by the word of God. Love that loves beyond all measure. Giving God's love to them. A father, an earthly father, who loves their children will work hard daily, will work hard and give their life for their children to have food on the table. They will work hard to provide light and shelter in the home. They will work hard to have their kids have a good education. They will work hard to have their kids to be as healthy as possible. They're going to take them to the dentist. They're going to make sure they're getting taken to the doctor anytime that they need. And for one major thing that they're going to do, the most important thing that they're going to do is they're going to teach them about Jesus in the home. And then secondly, they're going to have them in the church body, coming and seeing how people gather together in the family of God, how we worship God, how we love the Lord. A father will lead his children by example. They will exhort them to know the Lord. They will summon them to their God-given potential. They will summon them. I remember hearing my dad, he would call me girl. Girl, come here. Because he would say, girl, come here. And if I didn't hear him, he'd say, he had two girls, so we would both come. So he would call us by our names, Lisa. He would call my sister, Sherry. He would call us to him, and we would go to him, and he would scoop us up, and he would set us on his lap. He would work for us hard. He would put things together like our bicycles, and he would fix things like the tires on the bicycles, and he would do so much for us any time that he could. And I loved to be around my dad. I love my dad deeply. And one of the things I enjoyed doing, he was a truck driver at one point. He builds houses, and now he's retired. He's still working, but he's retired. I love to just hand him tools, just be right there with him. He'd be under the truck. I'd love to be his little helper, and he would allow me to do that. The relationship that we have with our fathers will call us towards our given potential. The relation that we have with those that we disciple will call them to their God-given potential. Won't turn them out because they're not good enough. They're not ready enough. It won't turn them away from God. It will draw them to God. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." We are to grow in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important for us, fathers, and I will say mothers too, and I will say those just in the congregation, as you're discipling, as we have young people coming in on Thursday nights or Wednesday nights, and as we have those coming in on Thursday nights for the adult class, discipling one another, growing together in Christ is vital. It's either that or we wither away and die spiritually. We need to grow in Christ, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we give him the glory all the way. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and perfect, and what is acceptable will of God. We need to make sure that the Word of God is open in our home for our grandchildren. The Word of God is being taught to those in our workplaces as much as possible. The Word of God is being taught in the way that we carry ourselves throughout the days. Whether we're in the marketplace or whether we're in recreation, maybe a park, walking along, just however you possibly can, share the gospel. Share the gospel. Fathers lead by example. Fathers will awaken them to their spiritual potential and remind them who they are in Christ. They will remind them who they are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things become new. We make mistakes sometimes, but as we're growing in Christ, we'll certainly make some mistakes. That as we're growing in Christ, just like children make mistakes, and adults, young adults, adults, we all make mistakes. But as we're growing in Christ, encouraging one another, reminding each other, babes in Christ and young people, and each one of us need to be reminded that we are new creation in Christ Jesus. All things, old things have passed away. We may have this flesh warring against the spirit, and the spirit warring against the flesh. And you may sometimes, I don't know, you may sometimes feel that anger stirring up within. And maybe you remember the scripture that says, okay, this is the flesh warring against the spirit. But isn't it wonderful? And I found myself thanking God for this war, because you know what's actually happening. Anytime that my spirit or my flesh will rear up and I'll start feeling a little edgy and turn into a little bit of a porcupine, Roger would be the one to tell about this. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord within me will rise up, and my spirit will, it will fight against that, taking back the ground that Jesus conquered. It's like the Lord just fights the battle for me in a way, showing me. I get a knock at the door. Wait a minute now, Lisa. This isn't the way. Calm it down, Lisa. And it's happening in here. I'm not raging on the outside, but it's happening in here. I can feel it. And the Lord's saying to me, slow it down. Anytime I start to feel anxious, that's the flesh warring against the spirit. And what happens is our Heavenly Father has made a way for us to have victory in that battle. It might be the one that's right in here that no one sees. Or it might be the one right outside of us, right outside of our in our little bubble right here, or maybe outside. But God, our Heavenly Father, takes good care to pay attention, and He takes good care of us. He made a way for us. 1 John 3:1 says, see that what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. That we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is it didn't know Him. It did not know Him. A godly father leads by example by awakening them to spiritual potential and responsibility. When we are godly in our way of living, we're leading by example. We're leading by example. It's not just a feel-good, positive feeling of an example. Oh, I'm just going to think positive thoughts and act positive all day. Let's have a smile on our face. That's important. It will improve your mood to have a smile on your face. We're built that way. God made the chemicals work that way in our brain. If we smile, we'll feel a little bit better. But right here, in the Word of God, and singing a hymn, and carrying a song on our heart, singing to the Lord and rejoicing and soaking up His word, that will give us much better, a much better lift. And if we will walk according to His word, we will model a behavior for those who are younger than us in the Lord. We will model a behavior for one another, maybe those who have grown cold in the Lord. And we will help them to remember their spiritual potential and their spiritual responsibility. We each one have that responsibility. And a father in a home and a man in a home has that responsibility to his home as the head of the household in partnership with the spouse, the wife, not another man, the wife, as God created it to be. Working and showing good example, leading by example. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Romans 12:6-8 says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Let us use them. And there are many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us that are listed there in Romans chapter 12. And when we are godly fathers, you that are fathers, when we are godly fathers, when you are a godly father, you will teach your children the word of God. Not every child has the same gifting in life in general. And these gifts that Paul is speaking about in the call of service to the Lord are given specifically and divinely by the Holy Spirit's power. They're not a possession for a person. Now, my sister has a gifting for talking to people and reaching out. I have a gift for being quiet and hidden, but here I am. But God has called me to this. He's called me to this, and He's had to work a long time on me to get me in this spot. But I have giftings like I can do different things. My daughter has different giftings than my sons in general in life. And we all have different giftings, and our children have different giftings. And a father who's going to lead by example will call them and their gifting out by giving them that encouraging word that they need in that spot. And you may have grandchildren, you may have young disciples in the Lord who need to hear that calling of a gifting out. They may need to hear, "Hey, I see you have been given a talent to sing. Sing for the glory of the Lord. Hey, I see you've been given a talent to work with your hands. Work with your hands for the glory of God. Hey, I see you have a talent of organization. Use that talent for the glory of God." We've been given even these earthly talents to use for the glory of God, let alone those things that God calls us to work in His kingdom. And we all have a calling to what? To win the lost, to witness what we have experienced in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Heavenly Father gave his own son, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did this for us. Romans 12 has many gifts that God has given. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks as the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and dominion and power. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God has given us gifts that we can use for His glory. Now, I've had people to come alongside me as I've grown in the Lord to this point, and I'll never be done growing in the Lord. And I glean from people all the time the goodness of God in their life. As I walk around and I hear them talking about the goodness of God. I heard one today, a good one. She said, "We may be a small church, but we've got a big God." Gleaning from others who are encouraging others, maybe they don't even know it, by the words of the testimony of their mouth, we do serve a big God who is able and beyond. He's able beyond what we know even how to ask or think to ask for things. He answers so much more than we know, and he leads us. He leads us. All we need to do is follow. So we need to speak life, these words of life, into other people's lives. We need to encourage growth, and we do need to lead them to a holy living and a perseverance in the Lord. We need to challenge them when they're complacent with grace and love, the love of Jesus Christ, and give them the hope of that future that they have in Christ. Fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, give to your children, your children's children, and their children that they need so desperately to hear about the glory of God in your life. Don't count it, don't discount it when you speak of God. When you speak of God, their little ears, whether they're 40 or 50 or 2 or 3, are listening to you, fathers. They're listening to you. So speak the word of God in your loving way. Speak the word of God to them. Tell them about the glory of God. Be happy in the Lord in their presence. Let them know what God has done for you. Do not stop and hold that back from your children. It is their heritage. Their eternal heritage in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But you must lead them to it. Speak it to them. Encourage them. Come alongside them. That's what that means. Come alongside them. Encouragement is like encourage them to stand back up when they fall. Encouragement doesn't look like, oh, look what you did again. That's not encouraging. They already know what they did again. An encouraging word to a young one in Christ is, you can get up and do this. You can do this. I'm here for you. Let's pray. An encouraging word to the children. An encouraging word to young babes in Christ and those growing up. And I believe with all of my heart that I'm preaching this word today for a reason. I'm preaching this message today for a specific reason. In this specific place to a specific people. Because we're being prepared for those who are coming. We're being prepared to be working for the kingdom of God. So hold fast to his word. Hold fast to his word. Because we will use it. Encouraging means come alongside, giving support, helping them have confidence, hope, comforting them. We're consoling them. We're strengthening them. We're giving them a steady. We're steadying the faint-hearted. Sometimes we ourselves become that way. Sometimes the trials and the battles can be that heavy. That's why the Lord calls us to come alongside one another. And lift one another's burdens. Lift each other up. To prefer one another. To pray for one another. We have a work to do. To do this very thing. Paul is talking about being patient and tender. And patience is a hard one, but my mother used to always quote it. So, patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We need patience in the Lord. And people say, don't pray for that, but you need to pray for that. That's part of God. God's Holy Spirit in our lives. We need him to help us to be able to wait for the promise of the Father. It says, like a father who knows his children's limits. That's what Paul is doing when he is leading. He understands their suffering here in Thessalonica. He understood. His heart went out to them like a father's heart. He loved them like a father loves his children, a loving father. God is our heavenly Father, and he does know our limits. And we are limited. We can't do it all. We are very limited. And we're stronger together than we are in each individual. But with God, nothing is impossible. With him. With us, we are limited. But with God, even this body could leap over a wall if God wanted me to. God can do it. He knows our limits. And Christ, he entered into our suffering and pain. Our Heavenly Father made a way. And fathers are to enter into the suffering and the pain of their children. And spiritual fathers to those who they disciple, to be with them, to sit with them, to listen to them, to call them out of it, to bring healing to it. Comfort is not softness. It's strength applied gently. It's a strength given gently. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Remember this, men. Don't provoke them when they're young in the Lord, lest they become discouraged. Or someone who is faint-hearted in the Lord, lest they become discouraged because something's happening. But fathers, don't provoke your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your children, lest they become discouraged. Draw them with love, strength applied gently. They grow best when they feel loved and supported. That does not mean forget the boundaries. That does not mean forget the discipline. But they will grow when they feel loved and supported. Not supported in their sin, not supported to do wrong, but loved and supported to who they're called to be. Supported in drawing them and calling them up out of it to who they're called to be. Strength applied gently again applies here. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those who he loves as a father, the son he delights in." We must open our mouths and speak the truth and speak it in love. There's a fine line there between oppressing them with the word, just pressing it down, and being harsh and loving them. And sometimes love is that hard love. You must have the Spirit of the Lord to speak and listen to him. Listen for his voice as he leads you in how to speak. See, the Holy Spirit has more tact than we will ever have. You're looking at someone who might tell somebody directly what I think. And we must listen to the Holy Spirit. Or we may hurt a soul in the wrong way. Comfort restores courage. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." That's what, as parents, as fathers, we're to do. As grandfathers, giving our children the understanding that there is hope. The children in the world, they don't understand this now. Not like we did when we were younger. It's getting robbed from the world, this hope that we have. Children need to hear that God loves them and that God has a better plan. Comfort restores courage after failure or after fear or in fear. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous," and that's what we need to tell our children and those that we are bringing up in the Lord. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We may feel like we're falling and our strength is at its end, but God does not fail and his strength goes on. And he is with us to carry us through. Whether we are feeling grieved in our heart over something or whether we are on the mountaintop, God gives us strength for the valleys to come. And a valley will surely come for our good. He will bring good out of it. For his glory, anything we go through, he will lift, his name will be lifted up as we turn to him. As we turn to him. Being present with the hurting, speaking to them the peace of Jesus into those anxious hearts, praying for them, modeling that Heavenly Father's compassion towards the world is what we're to do. Holding fast to his word and giving his word. Paul's speaking to them, charging them. And this charge is an entrustment, a giving of an entrust to them, calling them to live fitting lives worthy. This that we've been given by our Heavenly Father is so very precious, so very, very important, so very, I can't find a word in my mind to describe what the Lord has done for us. Then we've only got like a taste of it. And then we get another taste. It just keeps us coming back. I hope you're hungry for God. I hope you're hungry for a mighty move of the Spirit of God. I hope you desire him so much so that you can't get enough. That you find yourself just late for work or late for an appointment or late for this or that because you're in the Bible. And you just can't quite set it down. And you can't just quite get to it. But you're just like, I got to finish this chapter. I got to see what the Lord is saying. That you're so hungry that you're calling out to God for your children. Fathers, pray for your children. Those of you who have spiritual babes in Christ growing and coming closer to Jesus, pray for them. Seek God for them. We need a move of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this congregation. We need a fresh move of God in our hearts and lives. We need a flow from heaven like a mighty river. We need to seek God. We need to seek him and his face. We're not seeking for a miracle. We're seeking for God, the God of miracles. God will do what he will do if we seek his face first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. God knows exactly what we need, and as we seek him, he will provide. There is no doubt he will provide. Even if you need a mountain moved, that's a literal mountain, God will do it. Yes, he will. God will do it. God is able and above and beyond what we can ask for or even think to ask for. He said in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Look what he did. He sent a Savior for the whole world. Not only the world we live in right now at this moment, but the whole world throughout all history. He sent a Savior. This charge, this entrust, he's entrusting us, this assignment, this responsibility, something, putting something into someone's care, urging them with all urgency to understand the authority of God. Paul's talking about a father who takes his children's future very seriously. Paul took the future of the Thessalonians very seriously. And the future of all that he went out to witness to teach, to proclaim the gospel to. Jesus Christ took the mission so seriously. Do we take the mission seriously enough? Or has the blood of Christ become something in a far distant way unreal? Or is it just as real as the day you gave your life to Jesus, that first day you met him? Jesus is calling us closer. Being entrusting and in charge gives children direction and purpose. If we do not give them the charge, those that we disciple and our children and their children and their children, a direction and a purpose towards glory, they will not receive this as they should. They need to hear it from us. Fathers, hear me now. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. This is an example of how fathers do father. Our Heavenly Father goes so much further. He doesn't miss a thing. Roger could have his back to the one baby and the other one's here in front of him. And this one's fine. He's watching. The kids are fine. And that one's in the trash, digging through the trash. We could miss it, right, Roger? Proverbs 3:5-6. And God, he doesn't miss it. Not a thing. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. We need not fear or worry. He will take it home. He will make a way. You've done your best, fathers. The world will say, you haven't. You've failed. And I've seen so many fathers and mothers who've worked so hard to raise their children and in their older years to just feel like they didn't do well enough because their children have made mistakes. That's their mistakes, not yours. When you're a godly father and you have given your love to your children, you are the father that God created you to be, and you have the children that God created you to have. And God has done a thing that we don't know the full end of it all, but God did this thing. So when you give your children to the Lord in your prayers, know that God hears your prayers. And know that God is answering those prayers. I pray that you see the answer with your own eyes. That you see those hardened hearts open up to know the Lord. And that you'd see those children who are tender to the Lord rejoicing out loud for the glory of God in their lives and their children and their children. God can call those that are lost home. God can restore the brokenness. He is a father worth living worthy. He's a father worth us living in a fitted way, in a fitting way, as much as possible to his glory. To give our children a charge reminds them of their goal. Philippians 3:14, Paul said, I press on to the mark. On toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Remind them of this mark, this goal, this call. It anchors them to God, in God's will, in his mission. And we know the will of God is for us to go out into all the world and make disciples of every nation. We know the will of God is to call them out of darkness. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And we need to tell them that God never leaves them, and he has called them to this and to go. We need to let them go and serve the Lord and call and let God work in them and encourage them. It anchors them to the mission of God when we call them to live worthy lives. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're working for. That's what we're working for. To grow up in Christ. To measure to Christ. To reach our goal in glory. To see Christ's face. And that Christ would be glorified in us by our lives. His work complete. He's working hard, isn't he? Every day. He's working hard every day for us. Joy, would you come? A father's ministry calls their children to obedience, holiness, holy living, to godly life, and to a mission. A true godly father will do this with their children, and their children, their grandchildren. They will teach them ways to live in life that is beneficial not only to them themselves, but also beneficial in the kingdom work. A father speaks with firmness, a conviction, which is rooted in Scripture. That's a godly father. A father helps their children see the weight of their calling, their life, their purpose, their reputation in Christ. It's for God's great name's sake that we live for Him. It's for His glory. And He will be glorified whether we bow or not, yield or not. He will be glorified. I pray that He's glorified in our kneeling.